right. So this is, well, this is the fifth class I'm living, leading on the Zen Living, in the Zen Living series, but I believe last week Mick led one as well, so I guess this is class six. He talked about Zen and work, and I'm going back to dealing with challenges Zen style, because we never got around to betrayal and being misunderstood or criticized. So, what I'm going to do tonight is ask everyone, I'm just going to do the little outline first and then we'll go back to this. But first I'm going to ask everyone to just take a few moments. We have pen and paper here in the Dirt Zendo at home if you have that. You don't have to write anything down, but sometimes that just helps you kind of collect your thoughts. But to reflect on hurt you are carrying. Someone has hurt you in the past overtly through betrayal or even abuse or violence or through negligence, insensitivity, lack of understanding or acceptance, being very critical, etc. I think almost all, I don't think you can get to be a human being older than about five and not have some residual sense of like having been hurt by someone. And a lot of times these things, you know, we just carry these things. They don't end up getting neatly resolved often. So when we do that reflection, you can jot a few things down. You're not going to be asked to share. You're welcome to share later. So we're just going to, just to kind of get us in the state of mind of thinking about these things. And then the second, we're going to do a kind of a shared screen brainstorm about just what's some advice you've gotten from others about how to deal with this. And then the third thing I'll do is share some Buddhist teachings on the subject, and then we will talk about how we apply those and the challenges of applying those. So first of all, in those moments of reflection, if you could hand out the pen and paper in the Zendo here, and if you want to at home, if you want to go grab a piece of paper. And as you are reflecting on, you might write down the name of the person or the people, a little something about what's happened, or maybe something about the feelings that you continue to have, and try not to edit, you know, like you shouldn't feel that way anymore, you should have gotten over that, or you know that's irrational to expect that, or something that's not really, that's to some extent that doesn't really matter. And acknowledge as people are reflecting here that, you know, all of us have very different experiences, and there may be quite a few of you who actually have quite like traumatic, awful things that could come up for you in this example. And just acknowledging that this can run the gamut all the way from those things to just, you know, kind of feeling like your mom or your dad never really came through for you, you know? So I'll give you a few moments.
Can you repeat? I guess I was focusing on the pen and the paper. So writing down, were there different aspects?
You know, you might write down the name of the person or how you were hurt or feelings that you continue to carry.
Okay.
So just think, try to think of real examples of this from your experience.
I
mind, is that enough time dredging up your misery? Adjust this so I can share my screen but still see at least some Zoom people. All right. So, real or perceived injury from others. And I guess what advice have you received from others or, you know, just kind of told yourself about how to deal with your own mental and emotional reactions to that real or perceived injury. So in this case, we're not really talking about advice you received in terms of, you know, dealing with a conflict or, you know, mediating with someone, or it's not so much about, you know, dealing with it interpersonally or explicitly, but in terms of, you know, your residual, you know, reactivity or hurt or feelings or thoughts about it. So anybody wanna, what's some advice that people give you or that you've kind of told yourself? And if you are on Zoom, you can just either raise your hand or, you know, unmute yourself if I don't see you. Jinryu.
Well, I just have a question. Is this question here, is it related to the thing we were reflecting on just before?
I thought so. I mean, it doesn't have to be advice somebody gave you all about that situation specifically.
Because I've never sought advice for it.
Right. So, but maybe you've never sought advice for this kind of thing at all. But most of us, you know, there's someone who knows that we are upset, or someone that we've talked to about it, someone who observes our hurt or reactivity or something. Or maybe it's just, or what you told yourself. You know, how have you tried to counsel yourself in terms of letting go or getting over it or whatever kind of terms you might want to use? John.
Yeah. Something from the Four Agreements: don't take things personally. When something happens, somebody else is doing something, reacting, whatever. I mean, it's not really about you, it's about them. And so, you know, once you get the hang of not taking things personally, your first thought really isn't yourself, it's, you know, what's going on with them. And it helps to sort of try and understand where they're at and, you know, why they might have reacted in a certain way or done a certain thing. Yeah, you've got hurt. I mean, whatever situation might have happened has affected you, but I don't know, to get understanding, it's sometimes good not to just think about yourself and a self perspective, but to think about the whole situation. And it can help with understanding and compassion and other things that kind of get you over some of what may have happened.
Thank you. Veronica.
Two things. One is advice I've received. One is realize they probably didn't mean to hurt you. And the other one I received from a different family member was just get over it.
Susan, you're still muted.
Okay. So this was 10 years ago when I was betrayed, and I had a couple friends say, oh, he wasn't good looking enough for you. Like, that was supposed to help me get over it when I'm crying.
Like sour grapes kind of thing? Like,
what?
I don't know. I think it's like sour grapes kind of thing. Like, you didn't want that anyway.
I mean, with no understanding of what I was going through.
Eric.
There we go. So this is actually very real for me this year. And the thing I think I've relied most on is Ram Dass's quote, we're walking to their home. And I kind of view that if someone betrays me or hurts me, then they obviously don't want to walk with me. So I gently just kind of move myself away from them. It's kind of how I've kind of dealt with a hurt and everything of this past year.
So what was the name of Ram Dass's book?
No, his quote, we are all just walking each other home.
We are all just walking
each other home.
Each other home.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So I try to remember that when I'm interacting with people, and that way I gently touch them. If they, you know, if they don't like it, then I walk away and find someone else to walk with.
They didn't know how to walk with you. Brian.
Again, personal with me, going through divorce, so it's 11 months. And when you're dealing with a narcissist, which is what I was dealing with, there is only one answer, and that's called no contact. Because the person's got a disorder, and you cannot trust them no matter what, because they'll come back into your life. And I found that that is the only, like in talking to all therapists and stuff, that that's what they were telling me all the time, is no contact at all, absolute no contact. Don't, otherwise basically we'll just all start up again. And it's worked for me.
Well, I think my response is kind of a combination of what a lot of people have said, sort of a little bit of what Eric said and a little bit of what Ryan said, and started out kind of with what John said. And I totally get where Veronica's coming from, because I've heard that too. Just get over it. But, you know, I have to understand, I have to do my best to understand where the other people who sort of hurt me are coming from. And to Veronica's point, maybe they didn't mean it. Maybe they don't really mean to hurt me. They don't know that they're hurting me as badly as they are. But then I have to recognize, are these people I want to walk the path with? Are these insensitive people who are processing their lives and my life the way they are worthy of my company, worthy of sharing the path with me? When, and especially because I'm a Brightway Zen member, I have so many other options. So I kind of look at it that way. I don't know that it necessarily makes it easier, but I think it helps helps me let go better.
Cassie and then Courtney here. So you can come up right here if you want now.
It's gonna be short.
Okay, Cassie.
I watched this video by Aja Brahm, Four Ways of Letting Go. And there were times in my life I'd watch it like every morning because I didn't care for the things that were going on in my work. But I think one of the funniest things he says, and I know sometimes letting go can, it's easier said than done, right? Like, it's like, okay, yeah. But he always says, and he's kind of a funny guy, like, just do nothing, let it go, because karma will get those bastards anyway. It just always makes me laugh, which puts me in a better mood. But just more on a serious note, you know, just looking back at all the, you know, things that have happened or people that have betrayed me, like I might not get to see the ending of the story, and karma kind of work its magic, And I'm definitely not on in charge of what happens and the consequence. But the stories that I do know, karma usually does end up taking care of a lot of this, or just kind of being more introspective and saying, like, why am I so reactive to this? And a lot of times I'm reactive because, like many people have said, this is not the person for me. This is not the work environment for me. This is not the situation. It's a different path. And it's just my body telling me it's time to go a different way. And it's not the most pleasant way to get a course correction, but it sure is effective. So a lot of times kind of that's how I've looked at it in the past. And yeah, I like leveraging off people far smarter than me, like an Aja Brahm or you or Ter Brock. So that's also helpful. So thank you.
Thank you. And briefly from Courtney.
Briefly, the one I hear is be the bigger person.
Courtney says, be the bigger person. And then John and then Jade.
Yeah, sorry, one more thought. When you're dealing with people, they're inconsistent. They think many things. They are many different people. And the one that you're dealing with that maybe hurts you isn't the only version of them out there. And so remember that. And, maybe at the time they might have meant to hurt you or whatever, but part of them doesn't. So just remember that people are a lot more complex, hold space for the real them or the Buddha nature in them, that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying in all these cases where betrayal happens, you need to end up befriending them or whatever, but and in some cases, yeah, you need no contact and that kind of stuff. But if at all possible, you can help that person and help yourself in the process when you remember there's more to them than the part that's hurting you.
Thank you. And Jade?
Slow down.
All right.
And, take time to yourself and let, give yourself space to feel however you feel about it.
Thank you. So, taking a look at this, where our minds went and things that we have heard and things that we tell ourselves, it obviously has a lot to do with how are you going to deal with this person? Do you continue a relationship? What kind of communication? Do you move away, etc.? And that's a big part of our life, is to make those kinds of decisions. So the kind of spiritual question is, if you have done that already, or if you can't move away, you can't push this person out of your life, or they're not even a part of your life anymore, but the hurt remains, then what? So I will share some of the teachings, Buddhist teachings on this subject, and then we can get into some discussion about that. So many of you will be familiar with this teaching. This is from the Dhammapada, one of the oldest Buddhist texts, and this is supposedly the Buddha teaching. And he says, all experience is preceded by mind, led by mind, made by mind. Speak or act with a corrupted mind and suffering follows as a wagon wheel follows the hoof of the ox. All experience is preceded by mind, led by mind, made by mind. Speak and act with a peaceful mind, and happiness follows like a never departing shadow. He abused me, He attacked me, defeated me, robbed me. For those carrying on like this, hatred does not end. She abused me, attacked me, defeated me, robbed me. For those not carrying on like this, hatred ends. Hatred never ends through hatred. By non-hate alone does it end. And this is an ancient truth. Many do not realize that we here must die. For those who realize this, quarrels end. And just for the sake of absorption, I will read you another translation of that. All that we are is the result. So that was Gil Fronsdale. That's a newer translation. This is a much older translation. I should have started with the older one, but whatever. Max Mueller. All that we are is the result of what we have thought. It is founded on our thoughts. It is made up of our thoughts. If a person speaks or acts with an evil thought, pain follows him as the wheel follows the foot of the ox that draws the carriage. All that we are is the result of what we have thought. It is founded on our thoughts, as it is made up of our thoughts. If a man speaks or acts with a pure thought, happiness follows him like a shadow that never leaves him. He abused me, he beat me, he defeated me, he robbed me. In those who harbor such thoughts, hatred will never cease. She abused me, she beat me, she defeated me, she robbed me. In those who do not harbor such thoughts, hatred will cease. For hatred does not cease by hatred at any time. Hatred ceases by love. This is an old rule. The world does not know that we must all come to an end here, but those who know it, their quarrels cease at once. So, contemplate your hurt, your person, that betrayal, that disappointment, that pain, that lingering self-doubt, your anger, resentment, sense of righteousness, rejection, aversion, even hatred toward the person, or at least about the situation. As long as you carry on like this, hatred will never cease. If you stop carrying on like this, hatred will cease. So again, this as a disclaimer, this is about our spiritual practice. This is about our own body and mind and speech and behavior and emotions and thoughts, our own experience. And it says nothing, I need this disclaimer myself, it says nothing about, you know, what we do out there. It says nothing about, you know, that therefore we let ourselves be doormats and we don't do anything and we're passive and we, you know, don't get away from toxic people or anything like that. It doesn't say anything about the actions that we take in order to take care of our lives and set proper boundaries. You know, this is really about the state of our own mind and heart. This is about, you know, when we are still, we are still troubled by that, you know? He abused me, he beat me, he defeated me, he robbed me. She abused me. She never appreciated me, never listened to me. Always disparaged me, lied to me. So, this can be tough advice. What prevents us from doing this? What gets in the way? What arises? If this is easy for you, That's super. That is great. But for most of us, if it really is a source of hurt and pain, this is not something that we can just do overnight, right? This is an aspiration that we are moving toward. It's not, you know, it's like people said, like that advice of just like, well, I'll get over it. Not necessarily that helpful, right? Maybe that's the end goal, but how do you get there? So I'm kind of thinking, you know, as if this is our aspiration, what gets in the way? Anybody want to chime in? Eric.
Self-righteousness, like when you feel indignant, which I guess is ego, right?
I'm Veronica.
The hope or desire for an apology, so it sticks.
Courtney, come up for this one.
I'll come up for this one. holding on to those feelings, we feel like that will somehow impact the other person. That somehow, even if we have no contact with them, that somehow holding on to that, we think that that will somehow make them suffer or make them learn or something.
It's like if we like forgave them or let it go, like they're getting away with it. Yeah. So in the meantime, even though they might not even know the bitterness we hold in our heart, we're not letting them get away with it. John.
Obviously self gets in the way, your ideals of what should be get in the way. I just want to say something on hurt feelings. I mean, any particular situation, you know, the pains may still be there forever, and the situation may not be corrected. The wrong will still be there, and you will still be impacted by it. And no matter what, I mean, you may not be able to get the pain to go away, but you wouldn't necessarily want the pain to go away. I mean, if you, somehow all the pains went away of everything that bad that happened to you, you wouldn't understand the pain of others. So you just need to understand that the pain is going to be there and just let it be there and not grasp it, not be engulfed by it, bear witness, that kind of stuff. But understand the bigger picture and take everything into account and not just focus on that one particular thing. It's when you delve down into that and you think, woe is me and all that kind of stuff, that it can eat you up.
All right. So back for a moment from what we should do to what makes it difficult. Coral.
I feel like this just ties in perfectly what was said in the Zendo, but just like a sense of injustice. Like I need to like level the playing field. I want justice. And that really gets me. That's a huge challenge for me.
Were you, Natalie? Mm-hmm. Natalie and then Brian.
And I'm dealing with this still right now quite a bit with my ex-partner who betrayed me, so going through this. And so what I feel, so I recognize there's this duality of the spirit of the person and then the human of the person, the personality. So I know when I can tap into his spiritual nature and I'm feeling love, then I feel, okay, I can let it go. But it's hard to do that. So I think what gets in the way is looking at him as human being, person, flawed personality, and focusing on that, the flawed human, and that's what gets in the way. But if I can shift the focus to his spiritual nature, I feel love. But that's a challenge to stay there. So that's what I
Thank
find.
You.
Yep.
Brian.
For me, it was more like you have to forgive. And it's not forgiving them. I mean, you have to forgive them, but you're doing it for yourself. Because as long as you, when you start to forgive them, then the pressure's off you instead of arguing about the whole thing. Doesn't mean that you forget. You'll never forget. It could be scarred for life. But by forgiving them, they don't know what they do, you know, whatever. There's many different expressions, but by forgiving them, it gives you an out, not them. It's not, it's kind of hard to explain, but you have to forgive. If you don't forgive, it's always there. It's always in your face, and you're always upset about it. So.
Yeah, there's another teaching that I'm not sharing tonight, but that says, you know, when you're angry, like your enemy gets another one over on you. Because it's like you're holding on to a hot coal. They hurt you already. Okay, that happened. But now you're like hurting yourself again. There's all kinds of descriptions actually of like all the reasons, like I'm trying to argue you into letting go of anger and resentment. Because it says, and it makes you ugly and no one wants to be with you. And that just makes your enemy happy. So like, you should let it go. It's pretty practical. Denny. You're still muted.
I just can't get that in my head. Boy, this is really huge for me. Number one, with my mother, and I won't go into the details. And number two, with the years ago, with someone, a friend of mine who was like a sister to me. We were just so close and we relied upon each other. We trusted each other. And in both cases, I was just, when I think about it now, I get, my stomach is turning and I get really sad and very emotional. And I think, and I held on to both of these for a long time. I think because I still couldn't believe it had happened, that I had such trust in these people. I kept revisiting the circumstances, thinking somehow irrationally that the story was going to change. And of course, it never did. But what turned things around for me, and what you were talking about, Domio, the translation you were reading about, all of this happens in your own mind. You take on the actions of someone else, and understandably, it hurts you. But you torture yourself with it. And recently, and I know we're not supposed to talk necessarily about fixing things, how you fix things, but my mother for some time now has been very ill. She's 92 years old. And it has helped me so much to just care for her, to forget it all, and care for her and feel the love back coming back and forth. And it's just totally healed me. And I, about 5 years ago, I sent a letter to this friend of mine who I haven't seen for 30 years, revisiting the whole thing. And she sent me back the most beautiful letter telling me that she had really been, couldn't shake what she had done, and so that's all healed. And I've had, you know, smaller situations where if you go back and you reach out, the other person is as happy as you are to try to fix it. And I just really it's a great feeling when it works. And so That's all I have to say.
Let's see. How about we move on to saying a little bit more about how we're supposed to get to this lovely aspiration of, and I really like the translation. So the original translation, which a lot of people say, is hatred doesn't see through hatred. Hatred ceases only by love. And I mean, to some extent, you can think about that. Like, you think of, you know, Martin Luther King, always, you know, preaching love for everyone and the transformative power of love. And there's a beauty to that. And yet, I think it's kind of it's kind of overdoing it. Like, I don't know if love's the first place, but this other one, which says it's hatred ceases through non-hatred. Pretty straightforward. It's just the only thing that counteracts the hatred is just the lack of it. It's just letting go of it. And how does this happen? I mean, we've talked a lot about tonight about all these different ways, which are totally great, all these different ways we can kind of talk ourselves into letting go, or talk ourselves into having a little bit of compassion or understanding for somebody else. And those are, you know, they're useful as far as they go. But this real, the non-hatred is something that I think if you have experienced it, if you have experienced, you know, making this transition and, you know, one that's independent of something wonderful happening, right? Obviously, if you make up and you get an apology or something like that, that can be like, oh. But if you don't get it, which is what happens most of the time, right? Like, if you have ever experienced that carried resentment, and then just felt it fall away, maybe not permanently, but felt it just fall away, you know, it's not something that you talked yourself into. It's not something that is rational. It's not something you just like can will yourself into. It's a faculty of mind, which you end up developing facility with through our practice, through meditation, through mindfulness, through self-study, through, you know, learning to get to know yourself and the way that your mind works and whatever. And I like to describe it as, you know, you're just wandering around in your own mind. You just experience this, you think this, you try to shift your thinking here, you try to, you know, let go of thoughts during Zazen. We're just getting very familiar with this interior of this person. And then at some point, you just like happen along and there's this little switch. And you just go like, what happens when I click this? And then you're like, oh, look. I mean, I'm not saying you find a switch and then like it turns out all negative emotions or anything like that, but you find it. You find that way internally to just go, and you really can just let it go. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the story is. It doesn't matter what the results are. You can just let it go. But it is not easy. So I really emphasize, like, if any Buddhist teachings end up just being, if you end up beating yourself up with any Buddhist teachings, you're misunderstanding their purpose. Like, that's not how if they're just causing you more confusion and pain, then they're not working the way they're supposed to. So my Dharma grandmother said, you're right to doubt what you think it means. If you're like, all right, so the Buddha said, just stop hating. And okay, so I should deny all these feelings. And I should pretend I'm not upset, you know, try to forget that. And you're working yourself up into that and it's not working. That's not how it's meant to be used, right? It's pointing us toward a possibility. And then the practice is how we ourselves might be able to approach and taste that possibility sometimes. So, Jinryu.
Oh.
Oh, sorry, Ruthann, did you have something?
Yes, thanks. This is a great Dharma talk. And Byron Katie, who writes a lot of books, she's asked the questions in terms of dealing with hatred or forgiveness. What would your life be like without this feeling? You know, just ask yourself, how would you live if you didn't hold on or have this feeling? And in terms of, like you said, I think the last question, what gets in the way? For me, it's dealing with fear. And when I started 5 years ago with Bright Way, the thought occurred to me after about a year and a half. I read one of Yamada's books. I forget the title because they all have gate in the title. And he said at the end, one of the footnotes, well, overall, if you keep sitting, overall, your health might improve. And I took that to mean good self-esteem, mental health. And I thought, oh, that seems a bit selfish to put that onto a practice, just sit. But then it happened. My fear disappeared. And then you just asked what could get in the way. Well, I will be triggered when someone, a neighbor reminds me of that person that gave me years of fear and nightmare. And then I think, oh, here's a chance for me to be more compassionate in just a very civil way. I mean, I don't have to like this neighbor. I don't even have to interact. But when I see this person who lives in this facility do something positive for herself, I think, oh, isn't that cool? That's happening. Some good things are happening for her. So I know I'm rambling, I apologize, but what surprises me is when, we are not our thoughts, but when a nightmare comes in, I think, where did that come from? And I think, okay, just sit with it to a point where I can, then that's another chance to let go. Thank you.
Thank you. Jinryu?
No, if we have yet to hear from anybody who has done this successfully, and that's an important point. This is complex stuff. It digs deep. I came into Bright Way Zen 9 years ago, and I had an attitude toward my long-gone parents. I was filled with meanness and hatred. We don't have that anymore. I know that's because of my practice. And I know it's because of simple things like honoring our ancestors. So what? They did crazy, weird things that I don't understand at all. To this day, they are my ancestors. Everything I have, I got from them. Like it or not. But I think a factor, and I'll, you know, if I'm struggling with a particular act, if I'm struggling with the Buddhist teaching, on and on and on, and I can't get it, I can't get it, I am not looking at it right, because the Buddha did not mean us harm. Mm-hmm. He meant us compassion. He meant for us to feel good. I was struggling, I've always struggled with forgiveness. I have a terrible time with forgiveness. I don't even bother with it anymore. I just don't do it. Because what they did to me is unforgivable. And the fact that they did it is unforgivable. So there it is. But I'm a practicing Buddhist. So I can still have faith. I can still be on the path. I can still practice love and kindness for myself and for others. And over time, things will get better. And what difference does it make if I forgive them or not? As long as I am kind, loving, compassionate, caring. What difference does it make whether I forgive them or not? And I do think time is a huge factor. That's all I got.
I want to share a little. When I, this probably isn't like the deepest betrayal ever, but it was something that preoccupied me for a long, long time. You know, before I left Dharma Rain Zen Center, which was my original temple where I trained and where my teachers are, I practiced there for a long time. I got ordained. I lived there for 7 or 8 years. I was on staff, and I thought I was just going to stay there and become the one of the teachers after Kyogen Gyokuko retired. And I ended up getting very frustrated. I ended up feeling like I was just being ignored and undervalued and not like, you know, teaching responsibility, not that the details matter, right? But for example, like the teaching responsibilities are divided amongst 8 different teachers, but the administrative responsibilities definitely were not. So I'm ordained, I'm giving my whole life to this, and I end up just like teaching one class a year, you know, giving a talk every other month and doing lots and lots of office work. And you know, I'm just like, well, this isn't, you know, this isn't what I, this is just the equivalent, right? Of like you're in a career and then you're at a company and you're, you know, you have no, you've run out of options and you're getting frustrated and you want to go do something else. But I felt a lot of disappointment and resentment, particularly toward Kyogen, one of the abbots. And I felt like, I didn't feel like he did a very skillful, he never did anything terrible or unethical, right? But that often isn't what's necessary. And I felt like he, I don't know, that he was kind of oblivious and insensitive. And I feel like, you know, early on, he could have just told me, you know, I think you should go start your own place. I think that would have been merciful and honest rather than letting me kind of dangle in the wind for years of frustration. So I had a lot of built up resentment about that. And then he died early. And like, so, you know, that that's not going to be resolved. And this sense of being kind of undervalued and kind of pushed out and, you know, is a narrative which is distressing and sad and still can arise, right? Depends on the group of people that I'm with. Depends on, you know, that can just, it can just be right back there. Certain relationships with people who are just like, touched by that. And yet, you know, to be able to, at least for a moment, just, I love that question, right? Who would I be without that story? I mean, we understand, no matter what happened, what we're carrying around in our minds is a story about it. It may reflect some truth. It's not that it's untrue, but it is just, it's just a story. We know they have a different story. You know that bystanders have a different story. It's just a story. And but one of the things that really snags me, which I mean, people mentioned injustice, but this is like, I feel like this one's even more of a, this is even more of a hook, because it's not just injustice about me. It's like, if I was treated that way, I don't want anybody else to be treated that way. So the whole system needs to change. So I can get like that self-righteousness about like, this was an issue, not just because of me, but because people shouldn't be treated this way. And then that can keep that thing rolling for a long, long time. But yeah, so I think it's, you know, certainly for a long time, it's just, it's being able to put it down and maybe we pick it up again. But just the fact that you put it down even once changes your whole relationship to it, right? Because it's not like, oh, reality that your life is based on. If you're able to just put it down, like, oh, okay, looks like I picked that thing back up again, but I can put it down. Let's see, we have 1 minute. Denny, do you have something you want to add in our 1 minute?
Yeah, I'll make it quick. And this tags on to what Jinryu just said, and also what you just said. What I said didn't mean to imply that you had to forgive these people who had really hurt you. I mean, I guess it's always better if you can, but to some degree, it's a, you can be selfish about it and think to yourself or just know that you're tired of feeling this way. You're tired of this big, heavy chain hanging around your neck all the time. And that was part of it for me. The other part of it, going back to practice, this past year is the first time in 20 years that I have set a goal to sit and for at least a half an hour every single day. And with a few exceptions of being sick or having a full schedule and being too exhausted, I have done that. And I know for a fact that that has made a huge difference in just being able to open up, feel this spaciousness that I sometimes feel when I sit, and carry that into my everyday life. And so I think that's part of what made it possible for me to take all this pain. Mm-hmm. And as you said, Domio, it may come back, but so far it's working. You know, I just don't feel it anymore like I used to.
Thank you. Thank you for that testimonial. That's a great place to end. All right. We dedicate the merit of this Sangha meeting to all so that they may be able to obtain the truth. All Buddhas throughout space and time, all honored ones, Bodhisattvas, Mahasattvas, wisdom beyond wisdom, Maha Prajna Paramita.
Yay. Thank you.